Chapter 51, The Deliverance of Muchukunda, as given to us by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Ayin Gurave Namaha, Om Parama Gurave Namaha, Kling Gurai Namaha, Klinichinandai Namaha, Shrin Kling Radha Krishnabhu Namaha, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Gopijana Vallabhaya Swaha, Om Hring Bhuvaneshwaraya Namaha. When Krishna came out of the city, Kalayavana, who had never seen Krishna before, saw him to be extraordinarily beautiful, dressed in yellow garments. Passing through Kalayavana's assembly of soldiers, Krishna appeared like the moon in the sky, passing through the assembled clouds. Kalayavana was fortunate enough to see the lines of Sri Vatsa, a particular impression on the chest of Sri Krishna, and the Kaustubha jewel he was wearing. Kalayavana saw him, however, in his Vishnu form, with a well-built body, with four hands, and with eyes like the petals of a newly blooming lotus. Krishna appeared blissful, with a handsome forehead and beautiful smiling face, restless eyebrows and moving earrings. Before seeing Krishna, Kalayavana had heard about him from Narada Muni, and now the descriptions of Narada were confirmed. Kalayavana noticed Krishna's specific marks and the jewels on his chest. He also noticed his beautiful garland of lotus flowers, his lotus-like eyes, and similar beautiful bodily features. Kalayavana concluded that this beautiful personality must be Vasudeva, for every description he had previously heard from Narada was substantiated by the presence of Krishna. Kalayavana was astonished to see Krishna passing through his army without any weapon in his hands and without any chariot. He was simply walking on foot. Kalayavana had come to fight with Krishna, and yet he had sufficient principles not to take up any kind of weapon. He decided to fight with him hand to hand. Thus he prepared to capture Krishna and fight. Krishna, however, went ahead without looking at Kalayavana. Kalayavana followed him with a desire to capture him. But in spite of his swiftly running, he could not capture Krishna. Krishna cannot be captured even by great yogis traveling at the speed of mind. He can be captured only by those who follow the path of devotional service. And Kalayavana was not practiced in devotional service. He wanted to capture Krishna, and since he could not do so, he followed Krishna from behind. Kalayavana began running very fast, thinking, "Now I am nearer. Now I will capture him." But he could not. Krishna led him far away and entered the cave of a hill. Kalayavana thought that Krishna was trying to avoid fighting him and was therefore taking shelter of the cave. He rebuked Krishna with the following words, "O Krishna, I heard that you are a great hero born in the dynasty of Yadu, but I see that you are running away from fighting just like a coward. It is not worthy of your good name and family tradition." Kalayavana was following, running very fast, but still he could not catch Krishna because he was not free from all contaminations of sinful life. According to Vedic culture, anyone who does not follow the regulative principles observed by the higher castes, such as the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, or even those observed by the laborer class, the Shudras, is called a Malicha or Yavana. The Vedic social situation is so planned that persons accepted as Shudras can gradually be elevated to the position of Brahmins by the cultural advancement known as sanskar, or purificatory process. The verdict of Vedic scriptures is that no one becomes a Brahmin or Malecha simply by birth. By birth, everyone is accepted as a Shudra. One has to elevate himself by the purificatory process to the stage of Brahminical life. If he doesn't, if he degrades himself further, he is then called a Malecha or Yavana. Kaliyavana belong to the class of Malechas and Yavanas. Contaminated by sinful activities, he could not approach Krishna. The principles from which higher class men are restricted, namely illicit sexual indulgence, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication, are an integral part of the lives of Malechas and Yavanas. Being bound by such sinful activities, one cannot make any advancement in God realization. The Bhagavad Gita confirms that only one who is completely freed from all sinful reactions can engage in devotional service or Krishna consciousness. When Krishna entered the cave of the hill, Kalayavana followed, chastising him with various harsh words. Krishna suddenly disappeared from the demon's sight, but Kalayavana followed and also entered the cave. The first thing Kalayavana saw was a man lying down asleep within the cave. Kalayavana was eager to fight with Krishna, and when he could not see Krishna, but instead saw only a man lying down, Kalayavana thought that Krishna was sleeping within the cave. Kalayavana was very much puffed up and proud of his strength, and he thought Krishna was avoiding the fight. Therefore, Kalayavana strongly kicked the sleeping man, thinking him to be Krishna. The sleeping man had been lying down for a very long time. When he awoke by the kicking of Kalayavana, he immediately opened his eyes and began to look all around in all directions. At last, he saw Kalayavana standing nearby. The sleeping man had been untimely awakened and was therefore very angry. And when he looked upon Kalayavana in his angry mood, rays of fire emanated from his eyes, and Kalayavana burned to ashes within a moment. When Maharaj Parikshit heard this incident of Kalayavana's being burned to ashes, he inquired about the sleeping man from Shukadeva Goswami. Who was he? Why was he sleeping there? How had he achieved so much power that instantly by his glance, Kalayavana was burned to ashes? How did he happen to be lying down in the cave of the hill? He put many questions before Shukadeva Goswami, and Shukadeva answered as follows. My dear king, this person was born in the very great family of King Ikshvaku, in which Lord Ramachandra was also born. And he happened to be the son of the great king known as Mandata. He himself was also a great soul and was known popularly as Muchukunda. King Muchukunda was a strict follower of the Vedic principles of Brahminical culture, and he was truthful to his promise. He was so powerful that even demigods like Indra used to ask him to help in fighting the demons, and as such, he often fought against the demons to protect the demigods. The commander-in-chief of the demigods, known as Kartikeya, was satisfied with the fighting of King Muchukunda. But once he asked that the king, having taken too much trouble in fighting the demons, retire from fighting and take rest. Kartikeya addressed King Muchukunda. My dear king, you have sacrificed everything for the sake of the demigods. You had a very nice kingdom, undisturbed by any kind of enemy. But you left that kingdom, neglected your opulence and possessions, and never cared for fulfillment of your personal ambitions. Due to your long absence from your kingdom while fighting, the demons, on behalf of the demigods, your queen, your children, your relatives and your ministers have all passed away in due course of time. Time and tide wait for no man. Now, even if you return to your home, you will find no one living there. The influence of time is very strong. Time is so powerful because it is a representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Time is therefore stronger than the strongest. The influence of time can affect changes in subtle things without difficulty. No one can check the progress of time. As an animal tamer tames animals according to his will, time also adjusts things according to its own will. No one can supersede the arrangement made by Supreme Time. Thus addressing Muchukunda, the demigod requested him to ask any benediction he might be pleased with, except the benediction of liberation. Liberation cannot be awarded by any living entity but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Therefore, another name of Lord Vishnu or Krishna is Mukunda, he who can award liberation. King Muchukunda had not slept for many years. He was engaged in the duty of fighting, and therefore he was very tired. So when the demigod offered a benediction, Muchukunda simply thought of sleeping. He replied as follows. My dear Kartikeya, O best of the demigods, I want to sleep now, and I want from you the following benediction. Grant me the power to burn to ashes by my mere glance anyone who disturbs my sleeping and awakens me untimely. Please give me this benediction. The demigod agreed and also gave him the benediction that he would be able to take complete rest. And then King Muchukunda entered the cave of the mountain. On the strength of the benediction of Kartikeya, Muchukunda burned Kalayavana to ashes simply by glancing at him. When the incident was over, Krishna came before King Muchukunda. Krishna had actually entered the cave to deliver King Muchukunda because of his austerity. But Krishna did not appear before him first. He arranged that first Kalayavana should come before him. And that is the way of the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He does one thing in such a way that many other purposes are served. He wanted to deliver King Muchukunda, who was sleeping in the cave. And at the same time, he wanted to kill Kalayavana, who had attacked Mathura city. By this action, he served all purposes. When Lord Krishna appeared before Muchukunda, the king saw him dressed in a yellow garment, his chest marked with the symbol of Sri Vatsa, and the Kaustubha jewel hanging around his neck. Krishna appeared before him with four hands as Vishnu Murti, with a garland called Vajayanti hanging from his neck down to his knees. He looked lustrous. His face was beautifully smiling, and he wore nice jeweled earrings on his ears. Krishna appeared more beautiful than any human can conceive. Not only did he appear in this feature, but he glanced over Muchukunda with great affection, attracting the king's mind. Although he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the oldest of all, he looked like a fresh young boy, and his movements were just like those of a free deer. Still, he appeared extremely powerful. His influence and vast power are so great that every human being should be afraid of him. When King Muchukunda saw Krishna's magnificent features, he wondered about his identity, and with great humility he asked the Lord, "My dear Lord, may I inquire how it is that you happen to be in this cave of the mountain? Who are you? I can see that your feet are just like soft lotus flowers. How could you walk in the forest full of thorns and pebbles? I am simply surprised to see this. Are you not, therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the most powerful amongst the powerful? Are you not the original source of all illumination and fire? Can I consider you one of the demigods, like the sun god, moon god, or Indra, king of heaven? Or are you the predominating deity of some other planet?" Muchukunda knew very well that every higher planetary system has a predominating deity. He was not ignorant like modern man who thinks that this planet Earth is full of living entity and all others are vacant. The inquiry from Muchukunda about Krishna's being the predominating deity of a planet unknown to him is quite appropriate. Because Muchukunda was a pure devotee of the Lord, Muchukunda could immediately understand that Lord Krishna, who had appeared before him in such an opulent feature, could not be one of the predominating deities of the material planet. He must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, who has many Vishnu forms. Muchakunda therefore took him to be Purushottama, Lord Vishnu. He could see also the dense darkness within the mountain cave had been dissipated by the Lord's presence. Therefore, he could not be other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Muchakunda knew very well that wherever the Lord is personally present, by his transcendental name, qualities, form, and so on, there cannot be any darkness of ignorance. He is like a lamp placed in the darkness. He immediately illuminates a dark place. King Muchakunda was eager to know the identity of Lord Krishna, and therefore he said, O best of human beings, if you think that I am fit to know your identity, kindly tell me who you are. What is your parentage? What is your occupational duty? And what is your family tradition? King Muchakunda thought it wise, however, to identify himself to the Lord first. Otherwise, he had no right to ask the Lord's identity. Etiquette is such that a person of less importance cannot ask the identity of a person of higher importance without first disclosing his own identity. King Muchakunda therefore told Lord Krishna, My dear Lord, let me first inform you of my identity. I belong to the most celebrated dynasty of King Ikshvaku. But personally, I am not as great as my forefather. My name is Muchakunda. My father's name was Mandata, and my grandfather was the great king Yuvanashva. I was very much fatigued due to not resting for many thousands of years, and because of this, all my bodily limbs were slack and almost incapable of acting. To revive my energy, I was taking rest in this solitary cave. But I have been awakened by some unknown man who has forced me to wake up, although I was not willing to do so. For such an offensive act, I have burned this person to ashes simply by glancing over him. Fortunately now, I can see you in this grand and beautiful feature. I think, therefore, that you are the cause of my killing my enemy. My dear Lord, I must admit that due to your bodily effulgence, unbearable to my eyes, I cannot see you properly. I can fully realize that the influence of your effulgence has diminished my power. I can understand that you are quite fit to be worshipped by all living entities. Seeing King Muchakunda eager to know about his identity, Lord Krishna answered smilingly as follows. My dear King, it is practically impossible to tell you about my birth, appearance, disappearance, and activities. Perhaps you know my incarnation, Anantadev, has unlimited mouths, and, for an unlimited time, has been trying to narrate fully about my name, fame, qualities, activities, appearance, disappearance, and incarnations. But still, he has not been able to finish. Therefore, it is not possible to know exactly how many names and forms I possess. It may be possible for a material scientist to estimate the number of atomic particles which make up this earthly planet, but the scientist cannot enumerate my unlimited names, forms, and activities. Many great sages and saintly persons have tried to list my different forms and activities, yet they have failed to make a complete list. But since you are so eager to know about me, I may inform you that I have now appeared on this planet just to annihilate the demoniac principles of the people in general and to reestablish the religious principles enjoined in the Vedas. I have been invited for this purpose by Lord Brahma, the superintending deity of this universe. And thus, I have now appeared in the dynasty of the Yadus as one of their family members. I have specifically taken my birth as the son of Vasudeva in the Yadu dynasty, and people therefore know me as Vasudeva, the son of Vasudev. You may also know that I have killed Kamsa, who in a previous life was known as Kalanemi, as well as Pralambasura and many other demons. They have acted as my enemies, and I have killed them. The demon, who was present before you, also acted as my enemy, and you have very kindly burned him to ashes by glancing over him. My dear King Muchukunda, you are my great devotee, and just to show you my causeless mercy, I have appeared in this cave. I am very affectionately inclined toward my devotees, and in your previous life, before your present condition, you acted as my great devotee and prayed for my causeless mercy. I have therefore come to see you to fulfill your desire. Now you can see me to your heart's content. Now, my dear King, you may ask from me any benediction you wish, and I'm prepared to fulfill your desire. It is my eternal principle that anyone who comes under my shelter must have all his desires fulfilled by my grace. When Lord Krishna ordered King Muchukunda to ask a benediction from him, the king was joyful, and he immediately remembered the prediction of Garga Muni, who had foretold long ago that in the 28th millennium of Vaivaspata Manu, Lord Krishna would appear on this planet. As soon as he remembered this prediction, he understood that the Supreme Person, Narayan, was present before him as Lord Krishna. He immediately fell down at his lotus feet and began to pray as follows.